chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are right smack dab in the middle of it. Right smack dab in the middle. We are right smack dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome back to The Secret Truth for the second hour. Welcome back, Nikki.
Thank you, George.
You said before the break, Nikki Rapana, welcome back, that this thing is gathering strength. And is it because of the recent election of Obama to the presidency? Is that what you're meaning by that?
Well, I think that this was all timed. I'm one of those. I don't believe in accidental history. I believe in the coincidental history. Or, you know, there's different ways that you can look at things. But from what I could see is that they've already set up the structure. The bureaucratic system is in place. What they needed was a leader to take it to the next level, which is to introduce America to the new system. Essioni says that Obama will do this. I believe him. We're going to be told the new requirements for global citizenship. And as we're told them, okay, the apparatus to for us to participate, because this is participatory democracy is one of their words, okay? Everybody has a role to play in the communitarian system. There are no idle hands, you know? So all of the mapping programs, like right now, the National Animal Identification System is moving forward very quickly. That's premises ID. So anyone that has animals will need this number, okay? And then you won't be able to buy or sell or give away anything ever again. And without their permission and having them record everything. It's a paperwork nightmare. Ross Perot has probably got a contract in there somewhere. EDS systems, you know, because this is a huge, humongous system. And it's all about data. One of the things that part of the mapping stuff that I learned in Seattle was the use of the geographical information system, the GIS. This technology was started, you know, it seems to be have a very, everything seems to have a benign purpose. This was just for your basic city water, lights, you know, all the public services that are provided by most all municipal and governments now. Those were the maps for the guys that go out where to dig, you know. Well, they expanded those maps into hundreds of layers, and they started using them. I don't know if you ever heard of hot spots, you know, potential for crime analysis. There was even a TV show about it for
hot
a while.
Hot spots, yeah, yeah.
Yes, okay, hot spots was one of the ways that they were using the GIS. So you have incidents on a continual basis coming, you know, 911 calls on a regular basis from a house that goes into a level of the database. If you actually have an arrest at that address, more goes on that. Or a complaint is filed for a noise violation or, you know, numerous things that they were trying to come up with, different monitoring things. And then they trained the neighbors to complain. That's it. I mean, everybody noticed now that it's a complaining society, and everyone has an opinion on what other people should be doing, you know?
Like, right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they should be able to do that. Like right now, I'm on Facebook now, so I'm connecting with a lot of old friends, and I'm, you know, listening to people talk, and I'm pretty blown away by the ready acceptance of that they have a right to tell other people how to live. So your inalienable rights that were protected under your rule of law, you know, they're not even in the picture anymore to me.
Nikki, do you believe 9/11 accelerated this whole process?
I think 9/11 was absolutely essential
to get this thing completed, right? You know,
well,
get it further along quickly, right?
Yes, because the military portion of it is also, you know, we're studying in how war plays a role. George Hegel said that war is the best way to move society forward. Because, you know, this is all conflict ideology. Communitarianism is based in the idea that if opposites clash continuously on purpose and are, you know, pushed and pushed and pushed until people kill each other over it, that the resolution that comes out of that conflict moves mankind closer to perfection as a whole. And that's their theory. That's what Marxism is. Dialectical materialism is still dialectical.
Yes, it's opposite, so-called, yes.
Yes.
It's to move it to a higher level of what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, of slavery.
Yeah, well. Exactly, because a collective society is controlled by the upper control mechanism, which, you know, you don't
but
have a say.
Nicer. They're nicer.
You don't have any,
master.
Huh? Oh, it's nice. It's a nice collective slave state, right?
Yes. Where everybody likes it.
Oh, we love our slavery, you know what I mean? We just love, you know what I mean, doing these community projects.
Yes.
And we'll sacrifice our last penny to do it, right?
Yes. And give more, you know. Yeah.
Right.
And we've already been trained to think in that way so that, you know, it makes me look like I'm a walking oxymoron here. Because I've always fed lots of people wherever I live. I always end up having, you know, a lot of people in my house. I was a crash pad in Fairbanks for a long time with people who live in the villages. Once you let somebody stay at your house in Alaska and then, you know, the traveling crowd, you
right.
got more visitors, you know.
I got you.
So, right, I mean, now I live a very isolated, quiet life, but it's the first time I've ever had this, and I love it.
You can think better that way, can't you?
Well, I needed to process 10 years of research
right.
and really start looking at my life, what it's done to my life, the quality of my life. That's one of their favorite words, you know. And Vassar College last year had a seminar called Quality of Life, and they used my thesis. The Anti-Communitarian Manifesto was introduced
as a text in that class. And where
was this at now?
Vassar? Really?
Yes. Academia is very familiar with my work. We pushed it. That's the only place I really pushed the work was I wrote political science departments. I wrote Berkeley Law.
And which ones have been positive in responding to your work?
University of Wyoming, the head of the political science department, sent me to one of his professors, Robert Crawley. And he was very instrumental in helping me understand the difference between inductive and deductive reasoning enough to explain it in our thesis because it had to be there, you know,
sure.
The two kinds of reasoning that we're dealing with. So the tutorial became a better tutorial because of Robert Crawley, but he was still trying to convince me that I was a communitarian the whole time he was helping me
right,
with email,
right.
you know? Because,
I had someone tonight approach me and say, hey, you're really one of us. I know you are. And I said, no, I'm not. And I said, I'm not going to be converted either.
Well, they take the best of our people.
Yeah.
And they steal them from us.
Exactly.
We want them back, okay?
Exactly.
That's what we
hey,
want.
We're going to open up the phone lines after we come back. Is that okay with you?
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it's 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. When we come back, we'll take some calls. And let's continue on with this. This is getting really, really good. And you know, there's a lot to this. It's at a deeper level than people could ever imagine, is it not?
Yes, and it's a personal level too now for me, and it, you know, yeah.
So you're just seeing more and more of this. It's just, you know, lights are coming on all over in your mind, I bet, right?
Yes.
Because as you study something like this, you get a much wider view of things, it seems like. We're going to be right back in just about 3 minutes. Thank you very much. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, your host, along with Nikki Rapana, our guest this evening. Welcome back, Nikki.
Yes, thanks.
I'll tell you what, let's start taking some calls. Mike from Montana, what's your question for Nikki Rapana?
Well, I wanted to comment that I thought your discussion's brilliant. Your research is phenomenal. I really liken a lot of my opinions to yours. I kind of have a weird question in the fact that I kind of got to make a statement before I ask the question, but
well, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, in society, when the people are able to self-regulate themselves, there's less laws. If they have higher morals, then there's less laws. And as society falls in decrepitation, it becomes more immoral. Therefore, you want your neighbor to behave a little bit more, or you're afraid of your neighbor. So then all these laws come in, and that's where people that are free and love freedom lose their freedom is when society itself loses its morals. I don't see that changing. I think we're on the cliff and it's going over, and I don't see how we will be able to change or reverse the process other than I believe in all the doctrines and all the prophecies of the Holy Bible. And I can see that, we've lost our way, and we're going to be given a government to govern the lost.
Yeah, Nikki, what are your comments on that?
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I have my three closest online research friends that I have going right now are all Christians, and they use the Bible all the time. So I am real familiar with everything that you just said, and I don't know how to explain it. I don't use that book myself, okay, because I have some serious problems with some things called exegesis and the Kabbalah and, all the Judeo, the whole connection is just too much for me, okay? But the principles, I was raised Christian, New Testament Christian, pretty much non-denominational. So I that's always been my drive. And, when you say that society, has lost the rule of, that's an old argument that I've read, okay, that without religion, man has no morals, I've seen a lot of evidence that what you're saying, I mean, it just looks like either they actually prophesized what was going to happen, or they planned it, they wrote it down, and they're implementing it.
Right. Well, what I'm trying to get at is that most people listening right now, and maybe even yourself kind of expressed it, would say that, oh, man, that's that Christian nut. He's way off. He's all spirit. You know what? We are spiritual beings. And
absolutely.
And we've truly, as a nation, had a fear for what would be considered morally right. Whether people personally practice it in their lives or not, there was a societal fear of being immoral. But that's all gone. You can turn on the TV and you'll be blasted with cartoons with the most vulgar images and expressions that you thought, you say it's a cartoon like the Family Guy. I mean, if it tried to play on TV 30 years ago, that whole TV station would have been sued into the ground.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's become so prevalent, so pervasive. We just had a president sign in for partial birth abortion and giving money for organizations that, I mean, literally, it's a Nick Berg videotape of doctors cutting heads off babies as they come out of the mother's wombs. It's atrocious, and that is the society we live in. And if we continue saying, those Christians and they're moral, they're trying to tell me what to do, well, guess what? If you have no morals, your government's going to tell you what to do because you can't self-regulate.
Okay, Mike, thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you very much, yes.
Yeah, thank you. Ben from Virginia, what are your comments or questions for Nikki Rapana?
Hi, how you doing? I am a student at George Mason University, and it seems now, I don't know if you guys have been watching the news and watching the progression of Obamaism in Northern Virginia, but, they might as well change the name to Obama University. This place is getting really, really bad.
What school is that?
George Mason University.
Well, I had two broadcasts up there 2 hours in November.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of patriots on campus.
No, but let me tell you what happened, Ben. We were supposedly originally sponsored by the Economic Society up there.
Uh-huh.
The economy, economics department. And then when we got up there, not a one of those people showed up for our 2 hour of speeches.
Wow.
But you know what we did? I had Joan Vian, who's a stand-up lady in this world and in this country, and she spoke about Bretton Woods 2 and tore that thing to pieces. Followed, and it was preceded by Richard C. Cook, who took and tore apart the money system and the Continental as being a cause of the American Revolution. And we held our heads up and left that George Mason very proud people. That's what we did.
Well, that's,
so
that's
don't give up up there. Yeah. Keep going. I know exactly what you're talking about. The institutions have been transformed into something other than they used to be.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the whole history behind George Mason, how he came up with the Virginia Seal, the death to tyrants, and all this other
well,
stuff.
Well, Jefferson and George Mason, they were the anti-federalists, and they forced upon the other states those Bill of Rights.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well,
but the main thing, though, that they don't teach is the natural law basis that those founding fathers had going into the Declaration and the Bill of Rights and the Constitution eventually. They have to take us away from the natural law idea and put us into a man's law, man's constructions, humanistic thinking. See what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I see that happening just everywhere on campus, though. I mean, they're going into... You know, well, for instance, I was at a pro-Palestinian rally, right? And I was asking questions to the moderators, and I said, what kind of hope do we have to see any kind of justice in the Middle East under this new administration when Rahm Emanuel is an IDF soldier? And they're like, I assure you he was born in this country, and they went into all this other stuff, and it's like, all you have to do is trust in Obama, and the Palestinian situation will get better. And that's literally what their explanation of the whole situation was.
What are your comments, Nikki? Nikki, what are your comments?
Well, I've done quite a bit of research on Rahm Emanuel because Dr. Amitai Etzioni was actually one of the Haganah soldiers that liberated Deir Yassin. So I'm real familiar with what he was asking, and that's a relevant question that you would expect on a university in America to address. I'm so sorry that you're there now when, you know, you're not, what's your major?
I'm an anthropology major.
What an interesting field that could be.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you know what, Ben, you've got your head screwed on right, though.
Yeah, and I was wondering, what kind of, materials I should use specifically in my field of anthropology that you have done, Nikki?
I have what's the name of that? It's the main one that they used all the Buber stuff. Martin Buber is a key element of bringing in communitarian thinking into the anthropology.
Okay, we'll get that on the other side. You want to hold on, Ben? Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, and Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. Welcome back, Nikki Rapana.
Thank you, George.
Welcome back, Ben from Virginia. You're still online with us.
You betcha.
Now, you know, you're a student at George Mason, is that right?
That's correct.
You know, there's a high degree of intimidation that's going on. What do you think about this intimidation, Nikki?
Intimidation of free thought expression?
Yeah, in other words, if somebody comes up with some old thought, like, you know, out of the Constitution, they've got intimidation on them or something, it seems like.
It doesn't even have to be an old thought. It could be a current thought, like his questions about the advisors in the White House to me are way more important than who's in the hot seat. And Amitai Etzioni's been an advisor in the White House since 79. He came in under Carter, and yet he's one of the least familiar names that anyone, you know, most people that know the word Amitai Etzioni learned it from me. Right. So, and it's amazing because he's written so many books, and his latest book, well, second to the last book, right now his latest book is called Security First. And then prior to that, he wrote From Empire to Community, A New Approach to International Relations. And one of the people that I met that works for the Department of Defense told me that they are quoting those books in daily Pentagon briefings. So he has a humongous influence on what's happening in the military, in the White House, in the U.S. Congress. I got pictures of him with Obama. These boys all know who he is, but the American people don't know who he is. And
his name again?
Dr. Amitai Etzioni. He's up at GWU if you want to go see him. He's not always there. He's usually traveling. He does a lot of international seminars. He actually, they had a former, Etzioni was an Israeli revolutionary. He was actually a terrorist. In the illegal underground Haganah, and then he was part of the legitimate Haganah, and he wasn't. Now, Rahm Emanuel's father was Irgun, which was another faction of young boys, really. These weren't old men, okay, that were doing some pretty atrocious things to the Palestinian people. So the Palestinian people, obviously, they know who these guys are, but I don't know if they know who Etzioni was, because his name was Werner Falk. And I'm not sure when he changed it. Amitai Etzioni means tree of knowledge from Zion.
And that last name is Etzioni.
Yes, Ben. And the communitarian platform, to address that guy just a little bit that just called before him, Mike, is to shore up the moral, political, and social environment in the United States. So you have a former Haganah Israeli soldier who goes to Jerusalem and studies under Martin Buber and Schneerson, I think was the rabbi's name, goes and studies Kabbalah and Buber's theory, I and Thou, which is the basis for anthropology today.
Could you say that slowly?
Yes, Martin Buber. And I'm trying to think of this name that Pete sent me that was just fantastic. It came out in the 50s. A lot of this stuff came out in the 50s. This is when Etzioni, Israel got their independence in 48, and it's unclear exactly. He was in the army, in the real army for a while. He may have been Mossad. I've never confirmed that. And then he became a student under Buber, and then he graduated and went to Berkeley, where he got his PhD in sociology, and from there he went to Columbia University for 10 years, and by the end of that 10 years he was the head of the sociology department at Columbia. And then, I'm not quite sure, you should see his Vitae General, whatever that's called. It's about 40 pages long. He's been an advisor to every president, every dictator. He's at all the international peace conferences, so that's what I was saying earlier. They had Etzioni. I found him on video the other day on a TV. YouTube is wonderful. I'm finding all kinds of stuff there of him giving testimony at the Iraq peace conference. So, what an insult to those people over there. Okay, I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Well, can I tell you a little bit about myself and what I'm going to be doing?
Yeah, tell us about yourself, Ben.
Well, I'm a We Are Change member. I showed up at Bilderberg, and I made a video of the event showing the use of color of law by the cops to try to get us to stop protesting, to try to go across the street and stuff. And I had my car broken into, and that the copies of the video that I had made were stolen from my car. And later on, me and my dad went down to D.C. to protest the bailout, and we started talking to some Chinese exchange students who had a CIA handler with them. And later on that night, my dad's window actually got shot out. So I'm kind of an activist, and I'm definitely going to be using this information.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah, we know that. We know all about the We Are Change people, and we respect a lot of the good work they're doing.
Well, it's
so,
not like,
check out We Are Change Virginia /new. We've just updated it, and you're going to be seeing some videos of these guys that have just been talked about pretty soon, because I plan on going to their offices and seeing them.
Okay.
Oh, that would be so fantastic. Tell Dr. Etzioni that Nikki Rapana says hello.
Go down there and talk to these people. Hey, Ben, thank you very much for your call. We appreciate you calling and interacting with us. Thank you, sir. Good evening. Well, you know, Nikki, there's people out here that still care about this country and this world.
There's a lot of people that care. There's more people that care than I think that anybody wants to acknowledge.
I think you're right. And, you know, the Internet and talk radio and a lot of these different medias, we're the alternative media, right? You're not going to find this talk on your mainline media. Let's face it. They're controlled and you know, financed by that big money, and they stay in line, you know.
Well, it's how they control the flow of information. They just ignore what doesn't fit with their propaganda. Now, if I fit with their propaganda, I would have, obviously, I'm sure, more opportunity to share my theory, my thesis, if you will. Oh, and I was going to mention, too, that the Anti-Communitarian Manifesto is now available in hard copy also.
Oh, good, good.
Yes, we just printed it. Nordica did a beautiful job. It's just myself and my daughter, okay? We have...
Nordica actually, Frederick, is that right?
Yes, my daughter.
And you got a little grandbaby, too?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that darling little thing. I've got their photograph up there with the baby on our site tonight, yeah.
When he was just born or what?
Yeah, well, I mean, the photograph you have on your site, I pulled it off one of your sites, put it up there.
Yeah, if I'm wearing a black coat, that's when he's about, I don't know, 12 hours old or something.
Oh, that's a cute little thing.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It changed my life, you know. It's amazing. My daughter, my firstborn, changed my life. My son totally changed my life. And then my grandson, too. So, you know, it's like this is the whole thing of why I do this, you know. I want my kids and my friends' kids and my, you know, all our children to have the same opportunity to screw up their life that I did.
Right, exactly. like we've all made mistakes, right?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah. I'm not a normal person. Okay, I've never been normal. I'm just not normal.
Well, you're a free thinker and you go for the truth, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah. And I don't hide behind anything. I've never tried to be anybody that I'm not. I've never tried to present myself as anything, but, you know, I've tried to tell my
story. You don't have airs, that's for sure.
No. No. And I don't need them. I've no use for that. Okay.
I know. I understand. I
need a title
cool.
in front of my name. Nordica, has just been a gift in so many ways, okay? First of all, she got me out of the bar business, and I quit drinking for a long time, and you know, really, that changes everything, okay?
That is good. That's good.
Yeah. So, and the love, you know, just the pure love, the absolute, I won't let anything happen to you ever. I'll always be right there, you know?
Okay.
So the mama bear that came out in me, that's, you know, really a lot of the motivation that started in Seattle is because when they were coming inside my house, I had people there to protect.
I got you. Hey, we've got a call open. Our call line is open, 1-800-259-9231. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Give us some calls and we'll answer them best we can. Thank you, Nikki. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Welcome back, Nikki Rapana.
Thank you, George.
We got a surprise for you. Lark from Texas, what's your question for Nikki, your friend?
Oh, hey.
Hi.
How are you, Nikki?
I'm all right. Thanks.
Well,
how are you?
George, I just want you to know that this girl you're talking to on the phone is one of the coolest damn people on the planet.
She is a unique lady, and I highly respect her, and some of my best guests have been ladies. Believe it, you know what I mean?
They
get in there and get after it, man.
I'm telling you. Well, anyway, here's why I called. I didn't, you know, I'm kind of dumb, and I don't know about questions and answers and all that other kind of stuff. And I'm going to play a game, if that's okay, Nikki.
Okay.
Now,
I'm game.
when you're sick of hearing my words, y'all just shut me up, and then I'd be delighted to be gifted with y'all's words. How about that?
All right.
Is that fair?
All right.
All right. Well, I'm just going to throw out some things. Number one, I was stunned, oh shoot, maybe 6 months ago or so, because I realized that I was a natural born collectivist. And I said to myself, well, wait a minute. I don't want to be one of those. Because, I like collecting seashells. And I know that I like collecting friends. And I like my dog.
Yeah, you're a real collector, aren't you?
Well, the thing is I had become a collectivist of words. And I said to myself, you know, that's the whole problem I had with that damn Bible. Because I had a hell of a time growing up. My mother was an atheist. And yet my dad was a Christian. So I was conflicted. Now, I wasn't allowed to go to church until I was, maybe 15. And mostly it was kind of like I had to sneak around to do it. I had to do it rather surreptitiously. But anyway, I don't want to go into all that. Here is the problem I had. My conflict began in Genesis. And it began with when Genesis started actually using the word, word. And therefore, after a lifetime of investigation, 6 months ago, I was stunned to realize that I had become a damn socialist. Because I was now a serious collectivist of words. So I'm going to finish up real quick, and I'm just going to throw a few more words out.
Okay.
Still with me?
Yeah.
First of all, there was Diogenes of Sinope, I think is how you pronounce it. Very interesting expose online. BenBest.com.
Okay.
Now, Diogenes, his daddy, he coined money for the emperor or the king or whatever there in Athens. And they didn't live in Athens at the time. But anyway, I don't know if you know this, but Diogenes was known as the dog.
No, I don't know anything about Diogenes.
Well, I had forgotten all that stuff, too, because, I mean, the only thing I remembered about Diogenes was that he was always looking for an honest man. And he had some rather unsavory habits. You know, he liked to eat out of dumpsters. He'd urinate in public. And at one point, even though he wasn't born a slave, or at least he thought, he was kidnapped by some pirates and sold into slavery. And at one point, he became a slave to, or an educator, if you will, to Alexander the Great.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, they both died on the very same day.
My gosh.
Huh. Alexander stated that if he had not been born Alexander, he would have rather have been Diogenes.
My gosh.
And let's see, Alexander died at the age of 33, but Diogenes died in his 90s.
Yeah, let's get some comments by Nikki. Nikki, what are some of your comments on some of these statements and ideas?
You don't know where to begin.
No, I
Hey, I've got an answer for you, Lauren.
Hit me.
Forgiveness is the way. See, all this knowledge-based stuff doesn't get us anywhere in the end. But if we start forgiving ourselves,
the more I collect words, the dumber I get.
But you know what? If we can begin to forgive ourselves and others, that is the path to take, and that's the path to happiness, and that's the main teachings of Jesus.
Well,
that is the way out of our dilemma.
I can add to that, because what I see...
Well, Jesus is my favorite philosopher of all time, and I do indeed believe he was divine.
Well, the atheist and the Bible thumper both benefit from forgiving. See? So it doesn't matter who you are or what your philosophy is. It's a divine teaching. See?
I agree.
Right, and we're at the point now where we're face to face with an entire communitarian system, and it's not a nice system. It just looks nice to some people, but it's not. And the pain that this caused and the way that it changed me inside and the irritation and the anger and all that stuff that really motivated me in the beginning would have killed me if I'd hung on to it for 10 years. So
sure.
The thing about understanding who the communitarians are and why they're doing what they're doing also entails looking at really deep inside ourselves, whatever our spiritual belief is, to understand why we oppose it. What is it in me that stood up and said no?
I honestly believe the elite communitarians would just as soon do away with us. I honestly believe that.
Well,
I think there is a way to beat them at their own game. The truth is they know that their game. This way. The jig is up with these guys. The science does not support them. All you have to do is just look at this into the science of physics and the latest developments as to what is matter and so forth and so on. And then sooner or later, people are going to put two and two together and say, you know, you guys are full of crap.
Okay, hey, Lark.
Communitarians.
Now, we've got another caller waiting in line, but we certainly appreciate your call.
Talk to
you, Lawrence. But thank you very much, Lark.
Had fun.
Okay, thank you.
Email me that.
Okay.
I will.
Good night.
Okay.
Good night, Lark. Bob from California, what's your question or comments for Nikki Rapana?
Hi, George. Hi, Nikki.
Yeah, Bob, how you doing?
California. I'm not doing so well. I'm flat on my back. I'm listening to a program here on the internet, and Nikki said something about being raised a Christian, and then are you kind of drifting away from that?
No, I quit the church, actually, officially.
Yeah.
My mom and I argued about it for years because I was baptized, and she swears I can't ever leave the church, but I'm bonded to God, which is fine, okay? I just don't want to spend any time studying the Bible right now. And that's the thing. If you're a Christian, you study the Bible as part of it's the religion, okay? The expectations that go along with belonging to the religion are not something I'm prepared to deal with.
Yeah, well.
And it's a personal thing. I don't promote that, okay? I totally don't promote any religion or anything. And I do understand that, you know, if this is not Satan, it's something like that, okay? Whatever. Whatever name you put on it, these people are evil and they come from a very evil source. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pretend like they're Jesus,
well,
you know?
The popular English Bibles have a few mistakes in them. And I would like you to go to a website called concordant.org.
Okay.
Because you'll start reading some of those articles and you'll say, no wonder there's mistakes in these common English Bibles.
Yeah, there's been a lot of translations over the years, so I'm sure that one varies from one from another, right?
Right, and see, the Catholic Church is communitarian-based. The Pope came openly about it, talked about the communitarian New World Order, so it's definitely tied into Christianity. The modern Christianity is all communitarian. The faith-based initiative, every church in this country is participating in the communitarian system.
They've been humanized, have they not,
yes,
Nikki?
They have.
Our religious, mainline religious communities and churches have been humanized.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your call, Bob, from California.
Hope you feel better.
And I hope you call back again. Thank you very much. I hope you get well there. Thank you very much, Bob. Nikki, we're coming to the end of our show and our program. We certainly do appreciate you being with us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
And your research is very great and very supreme and very insightful. And keep it going. And I know it's a labor of love for this country and for this world and for your fellow man.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much, Nikki. Okay.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye-bye. Light a Little Candle, that's the song we're leaving on, and it's something I wrote that's dear to my heart. Hold it close to your heart. Hey, thank you for listening.